So I want to welcome you for this workshop of your third day of the retreat. I can imagine that your discussions at the end of the discovery lecture were bringing a few things to light. I could see when I was looking at all of you that you were really animated, and our Iranians, their hands were moving here and there, and they were expressing very nicely how they felt about tolerance. So I would like to see, before we start our tolerance workshop, we will bring some heat very soon in here. We will make it about three times as hot, and then so that we practice tolerance. I'm joking, don't worry. This is for the advanced course. So before we do our tolerance workshop, I want to see if there are any questions which you have at this moment. I will see one question here. Felipe has a question. Felipe, isn't it? Felipe, yes. Audaya Chandika, the question here, our Krishna Loka, our devotee from Russia, and our monks, and Daya Nitai. So I will be Nitai Daya, yes. I will be very fast. So, very concentrated. Madhavananda, what is your question?
My question is, you're speaking about daily practice tolerance, that's from this daily practice tolerance, humility.
Mm-hmm.
What is about the attitude of gratitude? Is there not also kind of humility coming at a different time? Different approach?
I think this is a very good question. You spoke about tolerance as the birthplace of humility. What is about gratitude? Gratitude, Prabhupada writes about gratitude, is the condition of the heart in which spiritual growth can take place. Isn't that a wonderful definition? I will repeat it again for you. Krishna Bhava, this is a very good definition of gratitude. Gratitude is the condition of the heart in which spiritual growth can take place. That is a very good meditation also. Tolerance is one, but you can start your day with the idea that I'm grateful that I have this human form of life and that I have this opportunity. When you have this gratitude in you, you might have something which is more, let me talk quite clearly and bluntly, which has more spiritual energy for you because it seems to be more positive. If you only start with tolerance, I should be tolerant if someone steps on my toes today, that concept may not be as much energy for you because it is still a little bit, you could say negative talk, negatively charged because you have to tolerate something which is bad. But if you start your day in a way that is spiritually and positively charged, like I'm so grateful to Krishna that I have this opportunity, that carries a lot of energy. So tolerance is only something which needs to be applied in challenging situations. Gratitude is something which helps you to grow spiritually. Mm-hmm. Good. Philip.
You were saying this morning about gratitude and this false humbleness that, you know, your Maharaj, you are, because of you everything is happening and this and that. But if we are, you know, like real in our spiritual life, we see that we don't have potency to do something on ourselves because this process is too high. So how to guide this gratefulness, and to who? Because Krishna is very far away, you know, to some other also personalities. Who can we really, you know,
be grateful?
Be grateful to your little inspiration, if possible.
The person you should practice gratitude towards, you, on the spiritual level, is the spiritual master. That's why in our sadhana, we start actually our day with the samsara prayers, and then we do the guru puja, another ceremony. In India, it is known that before a day's work, you come first to your parents and you touch their lotus feet, and then you start your day. In the Mahabharata, we find how even Duryodhana comes every day to his mother and asks for blessing, his mother Gandhari. And very interesting, he presents herself, Duryodhana presents himself only with a gamsha, and then as Duryodhana, the son, comes before the mother, Gandhari takes away the blindfold and looks at him. And as she looks at him, she gives her blessings to him so that his body has become invulnerable. No one can actually inflict harm to Duryodhana except for one space. That's where his gamsha, you know, he didn't come undressed before his mother. That is not done, you know. So that's why Bhima, in the ultimate club fight, had to hit his blow towards the hip, because that was the only area where the glance could not fill. That was the only area which was not blessed. So when we are offering gratitude, we do this always to a person who can bless us. And traditionally, for disciples and spiritual people, that is the spiritual master. For those who are not on the spiritual path, they go to their mother and their father to ask for blessings. I mean, you can also, you know, I'm not saying you should not have a good relationship on the spiritual path to mother and father. That is, I think, clear. But the idea is, the morning starts with seeking blessings. That's the idea. So that's why in our sadhana we start samsara dharma and guru vandana. Because we also keep this tradition to every morning go and touch our heads to the feet of the spiritual master and ask for blessings to go through a day very nicely. When you have no mangal arati, I suggest to you that before you start your rounds, you connect with your spiritual master and chant in his presence. We did this exercise, remember, when we asked the spiritual master to come to us and chanting in the presence. Now, I recognize that for various reasons, we have, let me express it positively. For various reasons, it's very good if we go connect to Srila Prabhupada. I think we all feel that we get a lot, can get a lot from Srila Prabhupada. And I have seen miracles with devotees who have expressed their gratitude and their connection with Srila Prabhupada. He's like that. An eternally living presence, and because he holds this very special place of our founder, Acharya, who's founded the whole thing, he is still present in this creation, and it is possible to access him. This is how I started each of my days. I have my picture of Prabhupada, and I offer my prayers, and then I start meditating, because this is tradition. Show your gratitude and connect, and so that blessings are with you all the time. Mm-hmm. Any other? I forgot who was next. Aldaya Chandika. I'm going like from right to left. Yes, Aldaya Chandika. By the way, Audaya Chandika is from the first Jabari tree to now, is always there. She's our most, she is a part of the Jabari tree. Without Audaya Chandika, we cannot start a Jabari tree. It is not possible. Yes, please ask your question. It happens with some time. I would like to give you an example from Srila Prabhupada's life. When he was in New York, he underwent some operations. It was not a surgery, but it was, he had a heart failure and he needed to be committed to the hospital, and they gave injections to get his heart in the proper pace. And to do that, they had to do something with the heart. I think, I don't know, was it, can you give a direct injection in the heart? Is that done?
Yeah.
It is done. They needed to do it was like a surgery. And Prabhupada was in anesthesia. So when he was in anesthesia, the surgeon, there was a phone call to the temple. It was the supreme surgeon, the leader of the surgeons. He said, "When does the old man ever stop to chant?" Prabhupada was out in the on the surgery table, and he was going, "Hare Krishna." His consciousness with the didn't work. But the chanting had become so much embedded in his subconsciousness that even when you can put the consciousness out, but not the subconsciousness. There is no, that works always. So he had brought the chanting from here, the conscious level, to the subconscious level, so that he was even chanting when he was under full anesthesia. But that happens over time. Some more Japan retreats are required. That's why Audaya Chandika makes a very valuable point. That's why I'm always saying to the devotees who go on the Japan retreat, don't see this as, you know, like a festival where you go and celebrate. You go here to do serious work. You want to bring the spiritual practice deeper than it is now, because you want to embed it in the subconsciousness, so that not the old things that rule and influence you all the time. And therefore, you, in my humble opinion, you need to go often on a retreat. You may not go to a Japa retreat like this, where it's organized for you, that you can chant and go deeper. You can chant extra rounds during favorable months, and now a very good month is coming, the month of Purushottam, which guarantees that whenever you do extra spiritual practices, there is a much greater result. When is the month of Purushottam?
15th August. 15th August to 15th September.
It starts on the 15th of August, I hear, and ends at the 15th of September. That is a good time. It's a very good time, and I want to recommend this to you, because my astrologer has told me that in this year 2012 is a special constellation of Ketu and Rahu, two powerful planets, who, what this means is it brings a lot out of your subconsciousness. You will see in your own life how things which you thought you had overcome, but who still resided in your subconsciousness, will come out. You will also see during this time surprises, devotees, role models which you have, you will see in them changes which come out. You will also see in the world things coming out which are there. It's a time where wars can start, you know. We will all see this. That is, the buried things, the things which we are not so aware of, will come out. It is in some way not negative, you know, from our transformational point of view. Those of us who are rested in spirituality, who have a lag in spirituality, it's not so much a problem. It's a release, you know, the dirt comes out. But only if you have your lag in spirituality, only if you're fixed, will you be able to deal with this. Those who are not fixed will be shaken very much. Those who do not have a spiritual standing, it's called in English, who are not fixed, you know, and fit to become fixed, you really need, remember, this is about steadiness, what we do this day, today. You need to be fixed in your spiritual position. You will see projects, things will happen, ISKCON projects, and world projects. It is a year where moving happens, where things which are under the earth will come up. And therefore it's very important that you are spiritually fixed. Then it doesn't matter for you. You will not be harmed. Also in your own life you will see, oh my God, I'm thinking things I usually didn't think like this. You know, I'm behaving in ways, I'm actually a tolerant person, but now I see I'm intolerant. What happened to me? You know, what happened is Ketu and Rahu happened to you. It's a difficult thing. So yes, bring it into the subconscious, and that only happens, Audhaya Chandika, if you make it a habit to chant properly. I can tell you, this year, many of our devotees who are still a little bit struggling to get deeper, and they are not yet deep, they will get a lot of intense situations this year. Maybe it has started already. Relationships break, you know, all these things. This is the year for this. So you better bring your lack and spiritual consciousness, and you must create now new habits. After the Japa retreat, I expect of all of you to create a better habit for your chanting, because that's the way you become fixed. Something little you will have to do. Something little. But that is, I'm reserving these beautiful points for the end of the Japa retreat. Okay, so we will go to the... Sorry? Oh yeah. Yes. During this Nirvani is... Nirvani, isn't it? Nirvani, good. Is informing that there is a Kirtan Vela happening during Purushottama in Germany. You must all come and bring 20 of your friends. Thank you for informing. Yes. Okay, the scanning continues. Who's the next one? Our devotee from Russia. Hey, Russian Wallace. He will now explain to you the question, and then you will have it in English. We don't need to hear it in Russian. He will explain it. Nitai Daya, what is your question? You wanted to ask a question, no?
Yes.
It will come today in the evening. Krishna Loka. Yes. Tolerance is one thing, but misbehavior is another thing. How can we correct misbehavior in another person? Mm-hmm. Now, the first thing is you have to find out, is it his misbehavior? That's the first thing. I mean, I'm just saying. When it's clear that it is a misbehavior, the way Vaishnava etiquette deals with this is you go to a person who is superior to that person, because then when someone hears it from a superior, he is bound to accept it much better than if he hears it from the same person. Today I spoke to a wonderful devotee who gave an example how really there was a devotee who misbehaved very strongly towards an elderly person, and this devotee then tried to point out to this devotee, you have just now misbehaved towards an elderly person, this is not good. Mahaprabhu says Trinadapi. So this devotee who had just misbehaved, you know, so strongly, blew up and threw the devotee out of the temple, because he is already bad, and if someone criticizes him who is equal, whom he considers on an equal or lower level, he becomes even badder or worse, you say, more bad. This is what happens when you correct someone who does a misbehavior, and he doesn't respect you. He will become versa. He will protest against your attempt to correct him, and he will justify his bad behavior and so on. Therefore, even a guru can only correct a disciple who respects him. A guru cannot correct a disciple who doesn't respect him. The disciple will turn more against him. So it is, you can only, you know, correction must come from to us from a person we consider higher than us. When we consider the person who corrects us as either on the same level or lower than us, we cannot accept correction from him. So what that means is, in practical dealings, is you have to see the person did a misbehavior. Am I the right person to correct him? If you are, then you can start with the, you can say, you did this, Prabhu, and this was the reaction. You can start slowly, you know, and see how he reacts with it. You did this, and this was the result. I think it must be corrected. This is how to correct someone. But if, and that is most of the time in Kali Yuga like this, if the person doesn't respect you as someone senior or older or well-meaning, then you must go to someone he respects, and then that person can accept the correction from that person who is higher up. These are material subjects. This is normal psychology, but our Vaishnava etiquette deals with this, because we are human beings. You know, Vaishnava etiquette deals in the realm of humans also. So, what is our Russian devotee wanting to know?
The question is, how devotees can, how they should deal with pain in mind, in body, in feelings, when they practice in devotion.
How to deal with pain, either in the body, in the mind, anywhere else than you are a devotee of Krishna. I can talk about this for days. Let me make it simple. The best way is to take first responsibility for it, that this has come to me, this physical or mental pain, because of my own activities. It's a karmic reaction, in other words. When you take responsibility for this, you don't, you are not judging any longer, and you are not outside, because you can't reform the world. You have to stay with you when the pain is there. This has come. And then, what you need to do when you feel pain, you need to connect your consciousness with Krishna, with His mercy, and so on, so that the pain becomes tolerable, the physical and the mental pain. Tatenu kampam shushumikshamano punyana evatma kritam vipakam hitvagvapupir vidadan namaste. Li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li. Forgot the last line. What this verse instructs us is sadaya bhakti. You become a candidate for Krishna's mercy when you understand that pain which I am now suffering, or this adverse situation in which I'm put, is there as a result to my previous wrongdoings. But while you go through this, you offer with your body, your mind, and your words full obeisances to Krishna. You connect with Krishna. And Krishna says, someone who does this becomes an heir to His mercy. Do you know what is an heir? It's someone who inherits something. If I'm the heir of, let us say, that Russian man who has his ship in the harbor of Zada. There are two very, very rich Russians who have their ships in the harbor of Zada. You can see this ship. It is so well equipped. There's so much money in it. When you just see it, you faint. So if I'm the heir of this Mr. Russian, I just have to wait, and then I get the ship also. With time, I get it. I inherit it. So when you have this mood that you take responsibility for your misery, and you don't point fingers, oh, this is the cause, or the accident is the cause, where I broke my foot. No, it's my own wrongdoings. And you connect during that time to tolerate the pain with Krishna, with your body, mind, and words. Then you become, it's sure, you just only have to wait, and then you get the milas, the mercy. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Your good name, Prabhuji? Janari Prabhuji. Good. Here is a question. Then we will go to Dayanitai. You will rethink about your question. If he feels your way, yes. Your way is the, yes, wrong way.
I can't, because I know it's right, so I can't deal with it. And the other one exists, it's wrong. I don't know how to react to this.
Let me tell you something from my own mind. My parents thought my way to Krishna the wrong way for a long time. And I thought, no, I don't really right and you're wrong. Prabhupada said, and you know, I have all my armors. But then I did one little technique which we will hear this evening. A little later about I try to see things from their own, from their perspective, and what I saw was an ignorant, foolish, I know it all so called spiritualist. I could see it and I was shocked. For instance, I would go to Christmas celebration and I would say, I would speak about they should not eat meat. You know, Germans eat either fish or a goose, you know, for Christmas. And I was giving vegetarian lectures. You know. And then they said, okay, then you go.
I thought, but I speculated that I needed not double the amount of water, but just a drop of water. And we are getting a loudspeaker for you. So I did the halava, but it was tasting like sweet sand. And they ate it during Christmas. And finally, because they didn't want to confront me, I asked, how is it? They said, very sweet. But they didn't dare to say that it was horrible. Because they knew I was so young and I was so foolish. And as a result, they knew they had to deal with me like it, you know. And when you find somewhere a bomb, they find special people who have gloves and cotton on it, you know, so that it doesn't explode. And when I looked through their eyes, I could understand there was truth in what they said. My way, in fact, was the wrong way. Not Krishna consciousness, but by immaturity was wrong. So, I recommend to do this exercise. Try to see yourself from the perspective of the other person, and maybe you will also see something which you don't see when you look from your perspective, because your perspective doesn't allow you to see everything about yourself. For instance, you can't see your own neck from your perspective. So there are few psychological things which you can never see from your own perspective, just like you can never see your own neck. It doesn't work. I can try as much as I want. I can even take my head off, cut it off, and then look, but then I also don't see it because I'm dead. You can't see everything about yourself from your own perspective. So you have to be willing to, if it is a person you value, you have to be willing to step into the shoes and see. I did it and I saw a lot. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Krishna, and now? Also, I will use this then you don't have to scream so much. This is our own loudspeaker, which is blessed last question, who had the last question? Nitai Daya. What is your question? Nitadaya, I suggest that you ask your question to someone who translates it, and later we deal it, because we have so little time in these workshops. Have you noticed? They fly by so quickly. So you can tell someone, and then they can write it down, and then it comes like a bullet. Good. So I'm sorry to be so fast now. I want to now go into the next item. How, by the way, are you? It's not so bad, isn't it? You look awake. Am I seeing properly? Something is good today. Is it a little cooler today? More tolerance. Fine. So, I really must say, whoever brought this microphone and the speaker, it is you are angels. This is so good, and the sound is even better than the best sound. So, I will now do a little meditation with you again. Tell me honestly, do you need physical exercise or not? No. There is such a strong resistance to physical exercise that you will not do it today. You have won. Can I maybe have a microphone stand? This, I think, is problematic because it's not big enough, but that is big enough. Can you maybe help us? This has a big thing, yeah. Change it for now. All right, while Philip is doing this, we will not look at him because it's a relatively simple affair that takes place. It's like this when sound a little disturbed. This happens in the lecture, everyone goes like, oh. I always feel, is it so uninteresting that you have to look how someone repairs a microphone stand and not continue with your full concentration? But I know. What I would like to do with you today is I would like to bring you to a state of consciousness where you can practice tolerance, that is, where you can solve the problem of not identifying with the body. Philip, would you maybe do this somewhere else, because everybody only looks at you. Okay, so let us look how he does it. He's ready. Yeah, thank you so much. I would like to start this singing a very, very nice tune, which comes from the land of Narottam Das Thakur. It's a long drawn out tune. We call it the Manipur melody. Maybe Ishwarapuri, you can put the microphone to the harmonium and hold it there. That microphone. Not working? And this one? Ah, yeah, we don't have electricity. But. Yeah. Hare Rama.